Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
...that passes our human understanding. If you come from Wales like I do, the Welsh word for peace is heddwch. And you know, a lot of the ways we talk in Welsh is very guttural, so you have to really get your tongue around it. Heddwch. Heddwch. Heddwch back to you, all right. Aroes heddwch, is there peace? Heddwch. All right, we're in part three. That confused the heck out of everybody now. All right, we're in part three of our series on the No Fear Bible. In the first week, we looked at the Bible as kind of a journey in consciousness, from innocence to enlightenment to awakening. And last week, we looked at the metaphysics of the Bible, looking at the stories of the Bible as symbolic of our own growth and unfoldment as spiritual beings. And it's not meant to be taken literally as much as to understand, well, what's the significance of what's being said? So this third week, we're going to look at ideas that empower. And I've got a baker's dozen of spiritual quotations that I want to use because I find that they totally and completely sum up the unity way of thinking, so that we are not an aberration. We are very much in alignment with what the Bible teaches and says about who we are and what's possible for us, right? So let's jump into it and see what we can make of this, because all the main five principles of unity are enshrined in these quotations, and it's wonderful to know that they're there. They're in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and they begin right up out of the box, Genesis 1, the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. Let's not go any further. Let's just stop there. In the beginning, God. Now, this is inherently good news for me because it means that wherever we are, right, not just at the beginning of the universe, but in any endeavor, when I wake up in the morning, in the beginning, God. If I've got something I need to accomplish this week, I've got a task. The beginning of that task starts with God. In other words, I'm involved with the divine at all times and in all places, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, right? Because in the beginning, God. In the late part of the Bible, when the cosmic Christ speaks, he says, not only am I at the beginning, I am also in the middle, I'm at the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So God is in the beginning of whatever we're doing. God is in the middle of it. God is at the end. But I love the idea that, you know, nowhere we can be, we're not without the divine, without spirit, right? Without the possibility of God. Is this good news? Absolutely good news. In the beginning, God. So you've got a choice on any given day. You can either start the day without the divine or with it, right? And so often we're kind of pulled off center, we're distracted by things, we forget that there's a God presence. And God is not just this being out there in space. God is the deep inner truth of your being, right? In the beginning, this infinite possibility. Because when you've got infinite possibility working with you and through you, wow. When you've got limitation and fear and separation working with you, yikes. So why choose that when we can have in the beginning God, God consciousness, God awareness? Yeah? Beautiful idea. And it ties in with Genesis 28, 16, 17. He says, this is Jacob speaking, and he says, truly the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. It is the gateway of heaven. You know, it's one of those moments when you wake up to what's really going on, when you really know in the beginning God. You realize that, God, my God, it's everywhere present, right? Truly the Lord is in this place. What place? This place, right? Wherever you are, this place. God is in this place. I did not know it. I didn't know it. Where was I? Where was I? Off in my own little world of fear and hate and misery and separation and ain't it awful and blame and all these things that get in the way, right? I just didn't know it because I wasn't paying attention. We come to church on Sunday. That's one reason we come, not just for the turkey. We come, we come to remember this truth, right? Help me here. I need some energy. I got to get it. How awesome is this place, therefore? This is none other than the house of God. It is the gateway of heaven. And we're talking about our lives right now, right? It can be a fabulous experience, can't it? It could be a opportunity for limitless good to be expressed in our lives. You want that? Want to claim that? Amen, I do. Everything, therefore, is sacred, right? We're on holy ground. Genesis 50:20. This is Joseph. He says, "You meant to do me harm, but God meant to bring good out of it." There's metaphysics right there, isn't it? So often we stop with the first half of that sentence, "You meant to bring me harm." Now, if you stop there, what's the next thing you do? Retaliate, blame, feel miserable, see life as a burden, see life as no possibilities. But it didn't end there. See, you meant to do me harm. Maybe you did. Maybe the universe did dump some doo-doo on me this week. Yeah? Life is not perfect, is it? We're all going to die. That's hopeful news right there. We're all going to die. Get over it. You know, it's what happens on planet Earth to the human form. The spirit isn't going to die. It was never born. So there's the good news. You meant to do me harm. You know, the world seems to be on a case sometimes. Things don't work out. But God meant to bring good out of it. In other words, when we remember the divine in things, we see that even the greatest burden is actually a way through to greater understanding, yes? And you know this, we've been through it in our lives. We've seen that those things we thought were our worst problems or difficulties have actually turned out to be a blessing when we could finally let go of it, yeah? Release from it. Get over that thing we thought was the hugest block in our lives. It's yielded good. And I would suggest that God always wants to give us good. Do you believe that God is after you? Gonna do you down? Anybody holding that thought? He's behind us but not after us. He's lifting us up, right? So we need to get rid of that old mindset that God's after us. Not true. God is the one presence and one power. God is good. God wants to give us only the good. So it's a misunderstanding of who God is if we think that God's after us in some way. Deuteronomy 6, fifth book of the Bible, the second law. This is the great Shema of the Judaic tradition, one of the most important scriptures for the Jews. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength." You may have thought it was Jesus who said that. But guess what? He was referring back to the Old Testament because he knew his stuff. And it was true then and it's true now. We are called upon to love God not in a sort of half-hearted way, but full on, right? With all our heart, soul, and strength. What does that mean exactly? I mean, I know what it means literally, but how does it show up? I mean, I got to get excited about this stuff, right? It's got to be, what? In our actions? You can't pay lip service to it, can you? It's easy to say, "I love you, man," until they cross you or do something you don't like, and then "I don't love you, man." So it's putting it into practice. There's energy involved, though. We have to get stoked about this. See, think of the things you get stoked about. The Cowboys we'd like to get stoked about, but they're kind of problematic. But something like that, you know, whoa, yeah. We'll have the same energy towards God, towards the divine in us, you know, because that's firing us up, right? We want to have a party here. We'll get to the party in a second. There's a great quote on partying coming up. But we've got to get full of that idea. And the Lord our God, the Lord is one, unity, right? There is one presence and one power in the universe, and that power is good. Joshua 24:15, choose here and now who you will serve. As for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord. At any moment, at any day, there is always choice, isn't there? Where do you want to open your heart and mind to, right? Do you want to open yourself to the misery of things, or do you want to open your heart to the good of things? There's the choice. And it's either expanding, I like to think of it in this way, you're either expanding or you're contracting, right? You're either in blame and shame and misery and ain't it awful, and those sons of a guns are after me again, or we could say, no, God meant it all for good. This is a joyous adventure. Is it good morning, God, or good God morning? Choice is ours. Might be the devil, might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. That's right. Bob Dylan said it, so it must be right. But the choice is ours. We have the power of conscious awareness. See, that's one of the greatest gifts. It's called in unity the law of mind action. We'll have a quote about it even more detailed later. But it's important. Change your thoughts. Change your thoughts. Change your life. We need to know this. It's a huge, powerful law. Proverbs talks about it. Proverbs 3. Put all your trust in the Lord. Do not rely on your own understanding. At every step you take, keep him in mind and he will direct your path. Keep spirit in mind. Put your trust in spirit. Do not rely on your own understanding. You okay with that one? No? What does he mean then? Do not rely on your own understanding. Maybe it means your limited human perception of things. Go to spirit, right? Because I know when I go to spirit, I'm given new guidance I didn't know about before. If I rely only on what I think I know, I'm not doing very well, right? Because I don't have full understanding. God has given us every single thing, energy, power, consciousness of possibility. But it's up to us to translate those energies, those raw materials, into actuality. As I was coming down to this church this morning, I was listening to a show on the radio, and it talked about 3D printing. You know, are you familiar with that? Well, now they can 3D print on the moon, they're thinking, using raw materials on the moon, because there was a problem with getting raw material from here to the moon when they eventually put a space station up there, right? So now they're talking about using raw materials from what's on the ground on the moon surface and turning them into buildings through 3D printing, creating these special interlocking bricks. And it's far out technology. But the point is, it's possible. It wasn't possible before because we hadn't thought it through. But when you don't rely on what's been before, but you rely on new information that comes from spirit, all things are possible. Yeah? These 3D buildings they're building boggle my mind. That you can actually print a building into being. And amazing, isn't it? A new thought. Change your thoughts. Change your life. Yeah, we can recreate our bodies maybe. Who knows what's coming down the line, yeah? That's another sermon. Here we are, moving on. Song of Solomon. Song of Songs, that is Solomon's, 2:14. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Love that line. Isn't it beautiful? He brought me to the banqueting house. What do you do in the banqueting house, folks? You have a party, right? So you have to have your party face on, don't you? You can't just come to, oh, a banquet, I don't know about that. I don't want to come to that. You know, if you bring that attitude to it, you're not going to have a good time at the banqueting house, right? You're full on when you come to the banqueting house because God wants to give you everything. God has provided for us, and his banner over us is love. Why don't we accept it? I think I will. Thank you, God, right? The provision of God. God pours out ideas, abundance, possibility. That's what God does. That's what the universe does. It's endlessly creative. And it's up to us then to partake of it if we want, if we desire. If you want to let it pass you by, that's fine. But what a waste when you have this precious human birth. The Buddhists say that to get a precious human birth is like one in billion, trillion opportunities, you know, because it's so easy you could have been come back as a bug. Less possibility, you know. Okay to be a bug, but we're humans. We have limitless possibilities, so don't act like a bug, you know. I know, I'm called Roach. Oh, Lord. Habakkuk. Doesn't always seem like God is providing. And Habakkuk says, although the fig tree has no buds, the vines bear no harvest, the olive crop fails, the orchards yield no food, the fold is bereft of its flock, and there is no cattle in the stalls, even so I shall exult in the Lord and rejoice in the God who saves me. The Lord God is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a hind and sets my feet on the heights. You know, there's times when it doesn't seem to be working well. Like we said, life is problematic. But the message is, even so I shall exult in the Lord. Why? My life is misery. Why should I exult in the Lord right now? Well, I don't want to know why, though. You can say, why not? Okay, why not? But what's the metaphysical principle? The more I focus on what's not happening, the more I get a not happening. But if the more I focus on God, then I'm not giving my power away just because things don't work out, right? I'm in this for the long haul, yeah? We have to persevere through difficult times because we know that greater is the power of God in this situation. It may seem like it was meant for bad and evil, but God meant it for good, and I put my power and faith and trust in God. In the beginning, God. In the middle, at the end, God. Now my favorite quote of all time, Luke 17. You cannot tell by observation when the kingdom of God comes. You can't say, look, here it is, or there it is, for the kingdom of God is within you and among you. It's not about time or space, it's about here and now, right? Claiming it now. It's here among us, and it's within us. It's not just within us, it's also among us. Because it's not just about me, it's about all of us, right? When I behold it with myself, I also behold it in you. This is the fastest way to peace to God, is to notice we're all in this together. It fits with this next scripture. John 13, I give you a new commandment. In fact, Jesus only gave us one commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you love one another. Show love to another. Why is that so, so important, folks? His banner over me is love, not just over me, right? God's banner is over us all. So if I am to be part of that holistic understanding of what's possible for me, I must see that for everyone. Jesus said it, if I be lifted up, I will lift everyone else up, because it's not just about me, it's about us all. This is where we fall down badly, I think, because we sort of have an intellectual understanding that God is love, and that's a nice idea. But then we come up to people who differ from us. Maybe this is a big week for that, Thanksgiving, where we're in the midst of family and people that we don't normally see that often sometimes, and there they are. Oh, lovely. And love one another. You kidding me? So easy to say intellectually, but then the work becomes practicing that, right? Seeing beyond the appearance of things into the heart of what's really going on, right? Seeing with God's eyes. And say again? Love is contagious. Yes, it is. There's a whole sermon on that, too. I think I'll do one on that sometime. Love is contagious. And depends on what love we're talking about, because love could be a disease sometimes, you know, when it's selfish love. And that could be contagious, too. It has to be the right kind of love that spreads joy and expansiveness. Romans 12:2, the most metaphysical scripture in the whole Bible, conform no longer to the pattern of this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Mind action. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Change your mind, change your life, right? Conform no longer to the pattern of this present world with all its stuff. I'm not going to pay that much attention to it. I'm not going to give it all my power, right? I choose to transform by the renewing of my mind, by remembering in the beginning, God, his banner over me is love. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is within me. We know all of it. We've got the scriptures. We've got the truth. There's only one step left. Living it. Living it. Bringing it into being in our lives. And Paul in Thessalonians gives us a threefold blessing, which if you look at it from one point of view is a tall order, like how the heck do we do this? But from another perspective, it's possible. And I'm going to ask you how. How do we do this? Because he says, always be joyful. Huh? Pray continually. Really? Give thanks whatever happens. Come on. For this is what God wills for you in Christ Jesus. Now, if we're coming from a human point of view, we'll say, always be joyful. No way. Because I enjoy Mr. Grumpy too much. That's my wife's name for me sometimes. Always be joyful. Mr. Grumpy doesn't want to be joyful right now. Pray, continue, give thanks. How do we do it, folks? How do we always be joyful? How do we manage that? Be positive even when Mr. Grumpy's out. Realize it's there. I fully believe that every cell of my body is rejoicing right now for its beingness, right? It's only my head that gets in the way sometimes, but I think the heart is exulting. The heart doesn't say, I want a day off. This has been too bad week. I'm not doing it anymore. I mean, the heart's keeping going all the time because the heart is full on with life. It's filled with joy and wonder at its existence. Right? I truly believe that, and that's true of all the other trillion cells that are going on. They're exulting. I have to catch up sometimes. But I realize sometimes when I'm Mr. Grumpy, I think, well, do I have to, because it's a habit, you know, you go into Mr. Grumpy sometimes, and I think, do I really need to stay in there? Or maybe I could change, you know, maybe I could be happy. And it only takes this tiny shift to say, let's do it, let's have a good time, right? Don't have to get into the habit of being Mr. Grumpy, or Mr. Grumpy doesn't come out very much, does he? Yeah, Mr. Grumpy laughs when he gets called Mr. Grumpy, whereas in the past, he didn't. Pray continually. How do we do that? Mindfulness. Be aware. Be aware of what's going on. Because that's as simple as to sum it up as we can. Just be mindful of what's going on at a given time. That is a prayer. We are praying constantly in that awareness, if we're just simply aware of what's good or bad and noticing it. Because if you can notice something, you're free from it. When you can't notice it, when you're stuck in it, then you're not free. You're a slave to it. But when you notice, whether it's good or bad, doesn't matter. It's in that awareness that's the freedom, and that is true prayer. And then give thanks whatever happens. Comes back to, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, right? I am seeing that there is the essence of good in this, no matter how it seems to be showing up on any given day. Finally, oh Lord, I got to stop here. Once you get going on the Bible, you can't, you know, it's hard. Colossians 1, 25, 27. This is Paul speaking, and it really is talking about us. He says, I became a servant of the church by virtue of the task assigned to me by God for your benefit. And we could say that we're all servants of that higher awareness. We all want to serve that greater good, right? We want to see something larger and more magnificent. We would not be at Unity Church unless we did, yeah? This is not like a guilt-based church where you're here because you're scared you might go to hell. I wish we had that sometimes, you know. I wish I could guilt people and fill it full, you know. Not really. We come for our own free will because we want to expand the good for ourselves and others, to be a benefit in this world, to put God's word into full effect, as Paul says, to live it. And that's the secret purpose hidden for long ages and through many generations by our forgetfulness, right? By our forgetfulness that we don't put God first. We don't remember that in the beginning there's God. In the beginning there's a chore. In the beginning there's enmity. In the beginning there's, oh my God, it's Monday. You know, all things that get in the way of putting God first. But when we do put God first, when we do remember, when it is disclosed, as he says, to God's people, when we disclose it to ourselves, I am a spiritual being of infinite possibility, and so are you. Feels good. Feels good. And the secret is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ just in Jesus. Not Christ as an unattainable, extreme understanding of what it means to be alive, right? Christ in you and me. The hope of a glorious, joyous life. So, out of that baker's dozen, by the way, I said how many it makes up a baker's dozen, and at 9:30, some person in the choir said 17. It's only 13, okay? That's correct, isn't it? I know it is in Wales. I don't know. Maybe there's baker's dozen is 17 in Texas, because everything's bigger in Texas. What are you going to take into your life this week from those scriptures, from something that's resonated? One phrase, one idea can make a difference that will impel you to put these truths into practice. Kingdom of God is within you, right? It's an inside job. That's a beautiful understanding. It's not just out there somewhere floating around waiting for me to find it. It's already here. Noticing, paying attention. Everything God, whatever it is, everything is an aspect of God. Excellent. Change your mindset, change your life, right? Say again. In the beginning, God. I love that one. I'm going to use that this week too. At every endeavor, at every beginning of every day, after lunch, at the beginning of this afternoon, God, you know, invite that presence in. Always be joyful, you know. Mr. Drumpy has no power over me. One more. Life is possibility, right? And we don't accept anything less than that. Life is infinite possibility. Why not claim it now? Amen. So we take time apart, whether it be in this service or in our daily life, to do one simple thing, and that is to stop so that we can take a time to seemingly not do anything, but simply remember who we are. And a precious gift is a moment taken apart. Not apparently doing anything at all, but the truth is much is being accomplished in that moment of rest. We are reconnecting to our divinity. We are remembering who we are in truth. And so we do that right now. We come to a moment of stillness. So we can recharge that battery of our life. It can be a minute. It can be an hour. It can be a commitment to being mindful in whatever we're doing. But the important thing is we are advised to give ourselves that gift because it improves our outlook on life. It sweetens our relationships and it reconnects us to the all possibility that is the Spirit in us. So for a moment now, we reconnect consciously with the truth of our being in the silence. And I remember that God has brought me to that banqueting table, that place of provision for my mind, my body, and my spirit. And the banner over me is love that binds up the wounds, that frees the captives in my consciousness. It gives me the joy, the energy to make a difference. Thank you, God, for your super abundant good now flowing to me and through me to bless me and to help me be a blessing to others. This is the truth. Thank you. And so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution and we affirm with you. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.